You're listening to the Fishing Guide Podcast Show. In episode 13, our hosts Mitch Glenn and Brad Wigman interview Chris Wells, the Bass Chaplain, the executive director of Well-Spoken Ministries and Bassmaster Magazine author. Wells is a full-time evangelist and currently the chaplain for the Fellowship of Christian Anglers of the Bassmaster Elite Series, in addition to also working with Major League Fishing Anglers. Tackle Time features selecting the right color pattern of soft plastic Pico lures. And now, broadcasting from deep in the heart of the Ozarks, your hosts, Mitch Glenn, owner of Pico Lures and national sales manager for major fishing companies, and Brad Wigman, an outdoor writer, fishing guide, photographer, and social media content manager. Together, your hosts will cover everything from fishing for crappie, bass, and other game fish to interviewing renowned fishing guides and pros on the hottest lakes and rivers. Fishing Guide Podcast is sponsored by Pico Lures, founded in 1933. Legendary Pico Lures has a complete line of fishing tackle for any angler and all game fish. Pico's famous for its Pico Perch, Side Shad, Pop, Little Pop, and its crankbaits are the hottest crankbaits with 25 color patterns and growing. Pico's jig heads, soft plastic lures, and marabou jigs will fill your buckets and live well full of game fish. Pico also has an exclusive line of bass fishing jig heads. Several of these Pico jig heads feature the Easy Keeper Coil system. And now, here are your hosts, Mitch and Brad.
Welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Wigman, along with my co-host, Mitch Glenn.
Hey, Brad. Got a special guest this week, man. We call him the Bass Chaplain, Mr. Chris Wells.
Chris, how you doing?
Hey, guys. I'm doing great. How are y'all doing?
Fantastic, man.
Super. Mitch usually says we couldn't be, if we were any better,
we'd be twins.
That's what he says.
I heard that.
Every week I hear the same thing and I try and get around it. Never works.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, you know, I know a little bit about you, so I'm going to tell the people. I know you graduated Francis Marion College. You attended Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary.
Yeah, that's a mouthful right there.
Yeah, I was hoping I didn't screw that up. And then, you know, you worked as a youth minister for 15 years, and now you are the executive director of Well-Spoken Ministries.
That's correct. That's it. You nailed it all right there.
I got it, huh? Where fishing and faith hook up.
That's right. Yeah, faith and fishing hook up. That's it.
There you go. So,
tell us a little bit about the Well-Spoken Ministries.
Well, I tell you, I was a youth pastor for about 15 years, and I was getting asked to speak so many places. I was using up all my revival days and vacation days that churches give you. And one day I came home and my wife said, you need to decide whether you're a youth pastor or whether you're a speaker, because you're not going to be both anymore.
Wow.
And so I started praying about it. And in 2004, we started a full-time speaking ministry. I grew up hunting and fishing and love it. And so I gravitated more towards sportsmen. And this year I passed my 1300th wild game banquet. I've spoken
Holy
at over
cow.
1300. And so I've eaten about every kind of wild game that you can eat.
Oh, yeah. I've been to several, but not anything like that many.
I'll tell you, I've been to them all over the place, and I enjoy doing that. It's one thing that, you know, and those things are, people that'll never darken the doors of a church. And so,
oh my, yes. I mean, that's my dad is 87-year-old. He's a deacon, and he still helps put on the fishing part of his church's wild game banquet every year. And it is amazing how many young people show up for those.
Oh, it's awesome. It really is. I enjoy being a part of those. I really do.
Yep.
So you're the executive director. Is it kind of a slim staff? Your wife help out?
Hey, listen, it's as slim as staff as one person can be, even though I'm not very slim. I'm pretty much a one-man show. We're governed by a board of directors. I have about nine guys that are my advisors and can kind of say, yes, you can do this, and yes, you can't do that. But it's been a wild ride. I always say right now I'm in the Well-Spoken Ministry Complex, which is my garage.
Yeah. Okay. Right. You're in the bunker, huh?
That's it. I'm in the bunker right now.
So how long have you been doing the Well-Spoken Ministries?
I've been doing well spoken since 2004. Now, when I started in 2008, if you want me to jump into that story, nobody really, when I talk to people, they don't really care about well-spoken ministries that much. But when I get into talking about the Bassmasters and Major League Fishing, that's when they kind of get interested in what I do.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's the fun part of it. I was I was a fan of bass fishing since I was a kid. And I mean that literally. Guys would talk about Roger Staubach and they would talk about Terry Bradshaw. I'm really dating myself there. But they say, did you see what Terry Bradshaw did today? I said, never mind, Terry Bradshaw. Did you see what Roland Martin caught? He must have had 30 pounds today.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was eat up with the sport of bass fishing, and I never knew why. And in 2008, the Bassmasters Classic came to South Carolina for the first time. And me and a buddy of mine volunteered to be observers. That's before the Marshall program even started.
Right.
And so we actually offered to pay them if they would let us ride in the boat with them.
Oh, my.
You know you're sick when you want to pay to watch somebody.
Yeah, that ain't right.
That's right. So I got paired with Alton Jones. He's a guy, he won the tournament. And
right.
He said, Chris, we're thinking about getting a chaplain for the Bassmaster Tour. He said, your name keeps coming up. Would you be interested in being the chaplain? At that point, I tried to look very spiritual. I bowed my head and I said, well, let me pray about that for 2 seconds. Yes, I would love to be the chaplain.
Yeah.
He goes, he said, dude, we can't afford to pay anything. I said, it's perfect. I don't make any money.
Yeah.
So what I do, I teach a Bible study for the pros before the tournament starts.
Right.
And then I'm just there as a pastor would be. And they have about every problem that a church can have. I mean, people get sick, people get mad, people get hurt, people get
everything. Oh, wow.
It's the same kind of thing. And so I try to go during the week early. When they're having practice days, so I can kind of visit them, and they're kind of hang out. The Bass Pros hang out in three different sections. They're either guys that rent houses, guys that stay in motels, and guys that stay in campgrounds.
Right.
And so I have to find them. And so I have to locate where they are and, you know, get a chance to visit and things like that. And sometimes they run from you, and just like you would a pastor, you know. It's just it's one of those things. I have to run them down sometimes.
Yeah, chase them down.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah,
that seems strange because all the time, and even when I'm in the boat, all the time I'm praying.
Yeah.
I'm praying for another fish.
That's exactly right.
I'm like, I'll go to church.
Let it keep. Right. Lord, let it keep.
There'll always be prayer in school. So it's
yep. Yeah, right.
That's exactly right.
So you started doing that, and that's where you fell into working with the elite anglers.
That's right, yeah. And I also do Major League Fishing.
Oh.
Major League Fishing, and it's kind of killing me because I'm having back and forth. So I've just, I leave one and run to the next and
right.
Try to be there for both tours. I don't know how, I don't know if we're going to keep doing that or not. We've got a little interesting Major League Fishing structure a little differently. It's a little harder to get to them, just because they're day on, one day off, and you really, they aren't all together in one place at one time very often.
Right.
And so, but it's been really cool to do that. But I've enjoyed, working with them. And right when Major League Fishing started, a new guy bought Bassmaster. His name is Chase Anderson. And Chase Anderson has been really supportive of everything I've done. Calls me every week, prays with me. Just been really, he's really, kind of changed the face of Bassmaster as far as, being real receptive to faith.
Well, that's a good,
it's been really cool.
Yeah.
It's really cool to say that. Now, Major League Fishing has always been receptive to faith. And so they've always been. And so, the way, in FLW, of course, they've been family friendly for years and years. They really have, and faith friendly. And so bass fishing is really unique in the sense of you can get really close to pros, and a lot of those pros are Christian guys. And, and that's really exciting for me to be able to minister to those guys.
Yep.
And you also write a column for Bassmaster Magazine?
I just started that recently, and I hope they'll let me write some more. And so I don't know how good that was, but Chase Anderson called me up and he said, we really want to give a message to the fishing community and the fishing family, and we'd like for you to write what do you think, what is God's position here? And I don't speak for God, but I tried to just share a little bit about you know, about getting some perspective on all of what's going on in the world right now with the COVID-19 crisis, and just try to put that. And I'm very thankful that they allowed me to do that. That's been really, really much a blessing to me. It really has.
Awesome.
You're also pretty active on social media too, isn't that right?
I am, and I need to get better at social media. You know, I'm 53 years old, and I'm not going to do all that stuff. I can't believe all that stuff. But then I realized that, you know what? If you don't get into social media, you know, and this was back 10, 15 years ago, that people, there was a segment of the population that didn't even know you existed, and so. So I jumped into it, and Facebook was easy, and that's an old person's, you know, social media deal now.
Yeah, we kind of, the young Twitter. People took it away from, or the right, old people took right. it away from the youngins.
That's right. And Twitter was easy to build. The hardest one to build is YouTube, and that's probably the most important platform that you can build. And YouTube is just like pulling teeth, because this is what I found, that someone who is over 40, when you put a video up, you put it up straight to your Facebook, all of them will watch it. 10,000 people will watch it.
Right.
Okay. You put it up on YouTube, it's the same video where they have to click the YouTube, you know, video platform.
Right.
And 23 people will watch it.
Right.
So it's like.
And it also depends. Some of that social media depends on how long a person stays on. There's some.
That's right. That's
there's exactly some other right. things that are in there too. So and the fact is that you're actually competing against, you know, other things that are out there too. And so how do you deal with that? I mean, because there's other influences that are out there, and when you go and you talk to, you know, like Shaw or someone like that, and you're visiting with them, you know, it's how are you able to, you know, like visit with them and keep their focus, you know, in faith?
Well, you know, one of the things that we try to do is I try to pray with people every opportunity that I can. And I mean, not just saying I pray for you. Hey, let me pray for you right now. And most everyone is pretty open to that. So what I try to do, the big thing is I try to stay until cut day. Okay.
Uh-huh.
On cut day, that's when a guy finds out whether he's going to get paid or not.
Right.
And they're a lot more interested in talking about God when they don't get paid.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And so that's kind of, you know, that's one of the strategies I do, but I always try to pray with people. And that's the thing, you know, I say, hey, is there anything that I can pray for you about? And when they say, well, will you pray for Aunt Sarah? Let's pray for Aunt Sarah right now. Let's do that right now, right here, right now. And that kind of brings the faith into the reality of everyday life.
Right.
And so that's what I try to do. We try to say, you know what? Faith is not just something that happens when you get cancer or when you get a disease or when there's a COVID-19 or when a disaster happens. Faith is something that we can have every day, every moment, and we can live in that faith moment right now.
So that's right.
That's why I tried it. That's how we try to get them there.
So getting to travel with all these guys and everything, do you get any fishing time in?
Yeah. You know what? I've gotten more fishing time in during the COVID-19 crisis than
okay.
I have in the last few years. But you know, I do get to go out with them every now and then. Everybody thinks that I fish all the time. Okay. And I'll say this is my patented line. There's a reason this happened and not on the tour, okay? Because
yeah.
I'm a lot better at talking about fishing than I am about actually fishing.
Okay.
But I do love it, and one of the things that has helped me the most is when they don't have a marshal show up, which is just about every tournament,
right?
They allow me to go in the boat with the guys.
Yep.
And so I get a chance to watch, you know, the greatest guys in the world. And I've learned, I thought at first that would be horrible. It would be 8 hours of twiddling my thumbs. But I've learned more from watching those guys than I ever did. And one of the things that people don't realize is fishing's a gift. You know, it's a gift just like anything else. And I can practice my golf swing, you know, all day, every day, but I'm never going to swing it like Tiger swings it.
Right.
And I've realized real quick, I throw my spinnerbait all day, and I'm never going to be able to throw it like Kevin Van Dam throws it.
Right.
And so that's the deal.
What's your favorite place you ever been?
You know, going up north is absolutely gorgeous, but But California, California surprised me the most.
Interesting.
They need the most saving there.
Yeah, Mitch. They need to have something interesting. I guess fishing's it, huh?
Yeah. You know what was really wild is when I went up, and I rounded a curve going up to Clear Lake, California, and there must have been 200 turkeys in a field. And when I got out and slammed my door, all 200 of them gobbled.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely crazy. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Wow.
And so it was a very enlightening experience. But I'll tell you one specifically. I got a chance to do a Bible study. I've done this twice in the Robinson Ranchero Casino. Okay.
Okay.
So I'm doing the Bible study in the casino. Now, my grandmother believed two things would send you to hell faster than anything else, okay?
Yeah.
If you revved the engine of a car, that would send you to hell.
Oh, really?
And if you owned a deck of cards,
okay,
you were just going to get a straight ticket there. I didn't know how to shuffle cards until I got out of college.
I'm glad that wasn't my grandmother.
A casino. I'm like, yeah, my grandmama would love this idea.
Yeah.
it was pretty cool. So that was a neat experience. Mm.
I think that casino helps support some of the tournaments and anglers out there.
Oh, they do an awesome job of doing that. They really do. And they do a lot of good with those things. And, there's good, bad, and everything that you do. And so it's really interesting. Let me tell you one more story.
All right.
This is, a number of years ago, when we started going to California, those pros have their boats out there. And so I volunteered to drive some boats out.
Yeah.
And the first year I drove Randy Howell's boat by myself to California, and one of my board members flew out there and flew back with me.
Yeah.
And he had a great idea. He said, you know what? On the way back, he said, we can go over the Sierra Nevada mountains and we'll save a lot of time. Well, I'm pulling Randy Howell's Triton over the Sierra Nevada mountains and it's snowing so hard, I can't see my hand in front of my face. And I'm from South Carolina. We don't do snow. I looked at him and I said, listen, if we get down from this mountain, I'm going to kill you and bury you in the desert down here. but it was a neat deal. We've done that several times. I had five different guys, and we put together a team, and we drove a couple of guys' boats out there the last time, and it was really a neat experience. So
there's
a lot of different ways, and we try to do servant evangelism like that. Try to get guys, hey, look, you can be with your family, and we'll drive the boats out there, and you can just fly out there later.
So, who's your favorite angler to get in the boat with?
Oh man, that's a loaded question.
Well, really, I know that's a loaded question.
I'm gonna say he's my favorite, but he's one of my best experiences I've ever had was with Aaron Martins.
Uh-huh.
And this is what happened. It was my first time at Bassmaster, and I was like, it was gonna rain that first tournament. And I said, I'm not buying a $400 rain suit. I said, that's ridiculous. That's a waste of money. I'll buy me a Walmart rain suit, and I'll just jump in there, and I'll just trade it out every time. Well, Aaron took off, and my rain suit got a hole in it about 2 seconds into the ride.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, it went, and it was gone, just like that. And I was soaking wet. Well, we got to the place we were going to fish, and Aaron Martins made one cast on a point, and he said, oh, they're not there. They've moved. And he reeled up, took off in his boat back to a bridge. And I was like, he made one cast. He stopped at that bridge and caught 17 bass on 17 casts. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
And then he was talking. But it took me about 5 minutes to realize he's not talking to me. He's just talking to himself. he was just talking away. And talk himself through the day. So it was a fascinating day, but I really enjoyed it. There are so many experiences I've had, being with those guys, and they're just all. I've never had a bad experience, with one of the Elite Series or Major League Fishing guys. Never have.
So. Is there a passage you think that is one of your favorite when it comes to like maybe doing a sermon or sharing with an angler?
Man, when you ask somebody who went to Southwestern Seminary to exegete a passage, man, you opened up a can of worms here.
Okay.
Well, there's one. I mean, I have one. I'm sure you have one.
Yeah, I do. One of the things I always talk about, I actually put this on a T-shirt. Jesus hung out with fishermen. He said, you guys come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of, okay?
Matthew 4:19.
Lightheartedly make your golfing buddies mad when you say this, but I always say Jesus hung out with fishermen, not golfers. So that's the good thing. He loves golfers too, but you know, one of the things that I always tell people is that, you know, Jesus offered living water and he offered things to people, but when you go through the whole fishing analogy, it doesn't always hold true, because here's the difference. When we throw out a bait, we're trying to trick a fish. We're trying to make him think that there's something that's real that's not real. And we're going to take him to a place he doesn't want to go. Jesus never offers us anything artificial. When he offers what he offers, it is the real deal. It's not fake. It's not going to trick you. It's not going to be something that you get roped into. You know, his faith and what he offers is the real thing. And so that's what I like to share with people. And, you know, in Matthew 4:19, he doesn't just say that to trick you. He said that because he's looking to have a relationship with you.
That's good. I like that.
And that's, you know, I think that's what kind of separates, and you mentioned it earlier, that professional bass anglers, I've been around, I've written stories about a lot of these guys and been in the boat, and you know, there seems to be a glue that kind of holds them together, and it's that friendship, but it's also, you know, that the fellowship that some of them have, and that really makes a difference.
It really does, you know, and all those guys are competitors against each other. Now, they're not going to say that. The way they're going to phrase that is, hey, I don't compete against other guys. I compete against the fish. But, you know, really, you want to beat all those guys out there. You want to be the guy. But they are all, you know, when anything happens, you know, whether it's a tragedy or whether it's just, hey, something that they need, they always help each other, and they're always there for each other. And even though we may, you know, disagree out on the water sometimes, you know, they're all brothers in faith, and they're real, real vocal about that.
So
my Bible study meeting, you know, they're just some great, great guys out there that love the Lord and live the faith.
So we need to know, what's your favorite place to fish, and what's your favorite, like, what's your favorite technique to catching fish?
Well, the technique is going to be easy. Because everybody knows I'm the most one-dimensional fisherman on the planet. It doesn't matter if it's 4 degrees outside or 80, 89 or 90 degrees. I'm going to be throwing some kind of moving frog bait.
Okay.
I'm throwing something. I love it. I got addicted to that deal. Now, I grew up at Santee, but Santee is not my favorite place to fish. Probably my favorite place to fish is the Cooper River down in below the Santee Cooper Reservoir. It's a tidal river.
Right.
I actually went fishing with my son there yesterday, and it's got hydrilla grass in it, just about every grass influenced by the tides. Yesterday we saw manatee, we saw dolphins, we saw, you know, just alligators, everything. It's just a beautiful, beautiful place, and the fish do what they're supposed to do because of the tides, and they're shrimp packed, and it's just a lot of fun down there. You know, to fish on the Cooper River, and that's
sounds
what I
awesome.
Love.
Yeah.
But I tell you this, you can't beat up north too. I tell you, everybody, you know, when we talk about fishing down here in the South, those guys up north will get more bites in a week.
Yeah, those fish up there in the north, they're just a special kind of crazy, I guess. It's like they've never seen a lure.
It is. It's, I guess, because they're iced in half the year. But they, you know, that's just absolutely, you know, it's hard to name one place. But if I, you know, if I'm going to end up my fishing career and everything, and the Lord says, hey, you got one more place to go, it's probably going to be the Cooper River. That's
really?
Where I'm going
to
go.
So if someone wanted to find out more about what you do and where would they go and what social media can they look at?
Chriswells.org is my website. And if you can't remember that, you can just type in The Bass Chaplain on Google, and I'll be the first person that comes up, and it'll take you to all my sites. My YouTube page is what we're really trying to build now, and that's where Faith and Fishing hook up. And every week we try to put up a Faith and Fishing video. Now, this week I put up kind of a fishing technique, which everybody laughs, and, of course, it was with a moving frog. And I call it stop, drop, and pop. And that's the hook on the moving frog.
There you go.
It's the most important thing. You got to stop first, and then you got to drop, and then you got to pop him. And
right.
So But going to, you know, if you can't remember chriswells.org, you can just type in the Bass Chaplain and I'll be the first one that comes up. And if I can ever do anything for anyone, you just let me know. I just make myself available. I even put my number out there and invite people if they have a question about faith, you know, to give me a call anytime. And that's why God put me on the planet, to show people how they can have a relationship with his son, Jesus.
Very good, man.
Absolutely. Love it. We appreciate you being on the show, Chris.
Yes,
man,
thanks
a lot.
You guys
are awesome, and anything I can ever do for you, you give me a shout.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Tackle Time is sponsored by Pico Lures, famous for the Pico Perch, Pop, Little Pop, Side Shads, Deep Diving Crankbait, Square Bill Crankbaits, Bass Jig Heads, and a complete line of fishing tackle for crappie and other game fish.
Hey, this week's Tackle Time, let's talk about colors and nature and colors in nature. If you look at the fish in the water, the bait in the water, the crustaceans in the water that they eat, you're not going to find anything in the water that is all one color. So if, and when you start looking at your fishing tackle, I'm sitting here holding a pack of Pico tube baits right now that are brown and orange. You'll be hard-pressed to go out in the world and find fishing tackle that is all one color. And the reason is that things in nature tend to use various colors to blend into their surroundings to hide from fish. And fish also pick up on those multiple colors to locate their prey. So it's an amazing creation on how everything works. But when you're thinking about choosing colors, think about what you're trying to represent in the water. It could be little bitty baby bluegill. In this case, the tubes I'm holding are look like a little bitty crawfish. You know, they're a brown and orange that kind of blend together. Keep colors in mind. Sometimes colors need to blend in. Sometimes colors need to stand out and look like nothing a fish has ever seen. Just remember, that fish don't have thumbs. If he ain't ever seen it, wants to pick it up and look at it, it's up to you to set the hook.
There you go. Great tackle time. Great tip there. Of course, I never did. Well, fish don't have thumbs.
They don't have thumbs.
There you go. You know, thanks, everyone, for listening to the Fishing Guide Podcast. You know, we had Chris Wells on. He's actually the
fantastic
bass
guy.
Yeah, the bass chaplain. So, and he's really involved in almost all three pro circuits that that is happening. And
1,300 seminars he's done.
I know, that's
wow,
crazy. Yeah. It'd be awesome to have him come to my church. It'd be sweet.
I was thinking the same thing.
Oh,
those events are a hoot anyway. They're a blast.
So we got to hear a few stories. You know, he has some insight into some of those bass pros.
Man, you can't travel all over like that and not come up with stories.
And I think it is. It's true that fishermen and faith, they seem to go together. You know, it's that fellowship, and that's, you know, that's their family men, and they're coming together,
Right.
And so that's really good. Well, I tell you what, that's it for our show. You know, please subscribe, rate, you know, leave a review for us.
Send us some suggestions. What do you want to hear?
There you go. For Mitch and myself, keep your hooks sharp and lures in the water.